Every one of us struggles against the effects of the fall. Because of the sin of our first parent, Adam, we lost certain graces. We lost what's called sanctifying grace. If Adam had not sinned, everyone who would be born would have that sanctifying grace. However, Adam did sin. He's the father of the human race, and he lost that grace for us. Sanctifying grace, that is the grace that makes us holy and pleasing to God. It makes us a temple of the Holy Spirit. It makes us a child of God. It gives us the right to heaven. It is a grace of state. It's not helping us to do something. That's actual grace. God gives us a grace to help do good and avoid evil. Sanctifying grace makes us holy. If we had someone who wanted to convert, and we knew they wanted to convert, and they had that intention, and perhaps they had a tragedy, and they were in a coma, and the priest went into the hospital, and he baptized the person while they were in the coma. They did nothing. And yet before the baptism, they did not have sanctifying grace. They were not holy and pleasing to God. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They were not the temple of the Holy Spirit. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. And after that baptism, they had all of that. They didn't do anything. Their soul was changed in a sense, because of this grace. And this is what we lost. Now, we receive that grace at baptism, or if we commit a mortal sin, we receive it when we go back to confession and make a good confession. But there were also other graces that we lost. And these really don't have a name, you say other graces, but these, the lack of these graces exhibit themselves in our life through concupiscence. And this is not repaired in baptism. Concupiscence is the defect within our soul that arises from sin and it leads to sin, but it is not sin itself. The person who has concupiscence doesn't commit a sin. He only commits the sin when he gives into that concupiscence and commits the sin. So what is concupiscence? We can think of it in one type. There's many types. One type would be maybe a habit. A habit that arose from sin. Someone might have the habit of lying. Sometimes teenagers go through a little period where they lie. It's easy to say a little lie. And it's a habit. You begin to lie and you realize, oh, this makes things easier. And so the lies begin to come out more easily. And that's concupiscence. It comes from the sin and it leads to other sin, but it is not sin itself. And so we can call that a habit. But not all concupiscence is habit. There's other types. There's concupiscence that arises simply because of original sin. Because we were born in original sin, we have this tendency to sin. It arises from the sin of our first parent. Even if we get baptized, we still have that. Or any other type of thing where if we commit even a single sin, we can have then the tendency to commit that sin again. That's concupiscence. It's not a habit, but it now makes it easier to fall into that sin again. And I think many people have experienced this or have seen this, where you commit one sin and then the next ones of that category become easier. And this is not taken away in baptism, and this is what we struggle with. Now, this is what the penance is supposed to take care of, that defect that we carry because of our sins. We can think of them as a wound in the soul, or other things to help us understand them, the wound from which sins arise. This is concupiscence. There are two types, or a concupiscence arises from two places, two types of sin: original sin and then our personal sins. And this is what we struggle against. This is the life of holiness. And we've got to fight against this. St. Paul talks about the concupiscence of the eyes and the concupiscence of the flesh. We see things and we want it. Oh, I want a new car. Or the concupiscence of the flesh. We want someone who has taken drugs then is more easily tempted or more easily falls into that sin again. You say an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. So if you ever talk to an alcoholic who's recovered, they will always say, I am a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober for 20 years, but I am a recovering alcoholic. And that is a statement of concupiscence because they've damaged their soul and they recognize that they still have that defect. Now there's something else that we struggle with. St. Paul says, concupiscence of the eyes, concupiscence of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life. Pride and self-centeredness taints or affects or pollutes everything we do. This is another effect of the fall. Now, it can be sinful or not sinful. We can recognize that, and then that's the capital vice, or, you know, I shouldn't say recognize that. We could give into it and will it, and then that becomes the capital vice of what sometimes we call vainglory, and it is also pride. I'm not going to make the distinction between the two, but they're closely allied together. Vainglory is the glory in vain things. Hey, look at me. Look at how smart I am. Look at how beautiful I am. Look at how wonderful I am. How funny, how friendly. This is pride of life. This is to turn things to yourself. But even if we don't commit that sin, that defect affects everything. That even if we don't commit the sin of pride, there's still that defect within ourselves to refer things back to ourselves. And this is part of the fall, the pride of life. This is what we struggle against. This is why humility is so important. Humility is directly contrary to pride. Humility is what dissolves this away. But we will always be struggling against this defect. Like I said, it can become a sin, or it can be a sin, or it can just be a defect. And we have to see this and recognize this. The saints can see this within themselves. If you read the writings of the saints, oftentimes you'll come across something where it seems like a false humility, where they'll say, oh, I'm the most worthy sinner in the world. If the graces I received had been given to someone else, they would be able to use them so much better than I. That's the saint seeing this pride of life within them. As we become holier, as we live the spiritual life, we're able to tune into our defects. And so initially when someone begins, has a conversion and wants to live a holy life, they might not see the self-centeredness and pride which taints all their actions. But as we become holier, as we become more humble, we begin to see the truth. That's why humility is oftentimes called the truth. We begin to see things as Christ, as our Lord sees them. We see our soul as it truly is, and that it is tainted by these effects, the pride of life, that we have concupiscence. And like I said, this is why we do penance. We need to struggle against these things. Now, Our Lady, though, was conceived without sin. She was the Immaculate, she is the Immaculate Conception. And so, that means she was conceived from the first moment of her existence. She was preserved, as Pope Pius IX defines, she was preserved from all stain of original sin. So this not only means that she received sanctifying grace, but she also had the grace that we don't receive, and that is that grace so that she didn't have concupiscence. She didn't have the pride of life. She was preserved from these things. And so her interior life is a little bit different than ours. I think I've mentioned this before, that her temptations were a little bit different because she did not suffer from concupiscence like we do. And her interior state, this purity, this ability to have an intention that is not referred back to herself in any way, but it is a pure love for the other person. This is summed up in her immaculate heart. When we talk about her immaculate heart, this is what we mean. That her love was pure. She didn't suffer from concupiscence. She didn't suffer from that self-referential love. She didn't have, she wasn't without sanctifying grace. And so that was her love, pure and holy. And we see in St. Luke where he talks about Our Lady's heart. She ponders this in her heart. And there was devotion to the Immaculate Heart. St. John Eudes, a great French saint from the 1600s, is referred to as the father of the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. He began devotion more specifically. And then Our Lady came at Fatima. And she said, God the Father wants there to be devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And so this began a new phase in devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. Why is that devotion to her heart so important? Because that is where we should be. That is where we are called to be. To have a heart like hers. To have the holiness of sanctifying grace, that we can achieve in this life. But to struggle against concupiscence, to struggle against the pride of life. You know, we should take a look at our spiritual life and think about, maybe not last month, but think about 2 years ago. Are we making improvements? Am I making improvements in these areas? If I suffered from concupiscence 2 years ago, am I struggling with it more effectively? Am I becoming more holy? Am I falling to this concupiscence less? Is it less vehement now, less strong because of my penances? This tells us that we are on the right path. Am I able to see my self-pride affecting my actions? Can I see it better? And am I able to suppress it more? This tells us that we are on the right path, that we are becoming holier, and that we are becoming more like Our Lady, that our heart is being transformed into an image of hers. You know, when you see a little child, you can look at the little child and you say, oh, you have your mother's eyes, or you have your father's hair. Physically, we can see the resemblance between them and their parent. If Our Lady is our mother, then spiritually, we have to resemble her. And that's where holiness is when we resemble her, or when we perfectly imitate her. Now, while we are in this life, we struggle against these things. The concupiscence of the eyes, concupiscence of the flesh, the pride of life. We struggle against them. And it is only in heaven, if we are found worthy, will these things be finally taken away. Only when we arrive, then our hearts will be pure. And in a sense, our hearts will be immaculate, just like hers, without any stain, without any defect. It might not be as large as hers. Our love might not be, well, it won't be, as great as hers. Our love is much less, but in that love, it will still be pure, without selfishness, and without anything else. And this is what we should strive for. We strive for it in this life. This is holiness. And this is what we should take stock of, to look at our life, so that We grow in holiness here so that it will be perfected when we enter heaven. And we will be a true child of Our Lady then. So, let us look at our hearts and ask Our Lady to help us to see these things within our hearts, to see where we fall short, where we do have these defects. She would enlighten us. We should pray for humility also. And then, of course, always ask her that she would make our heart like hers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.